Again, that's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see everybody here. Thank you for coming to worship God this morning. We're going to use that verse in just a minute. We don't need it right now, but mark it. We're going to use it at the end, actually. We're going to bring it full circle. And I don't know, maybe I need to talk to the elders about the end of sermon scripture reading. That would have helped better here. I was struggling. But we're going to start with it. We're going to end with it. Before then, I need you to go to Matthew chapter 16. There's a conversation that happens in Matthew chapter 16 that I want to talk about with you this morning. The beginning of Matthew chapter 16, just for context, the end of Matthew 15, Jesus feeds the 4,000. You remember that. It's the second time that he'd fed a massive crowd of thousands of people. He feeds the 4,000. There are fragments left over. Everyone is amazed. In the beginning of 15, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to him, and they begin to question him. They wanted a sign. They wanted him to show them a sign from heaven. They wanted that because they were trying to figure out if he could prove who he said he was. That's what they wanted. They wanted proof. And he rebuffs them and he says, you don't need a sign. He says, you can discern the times of the day by looking at the sky. And he says, and you think you need a sign? He doesn't give them a sign. The fact that they had been seeing him do signs all along should have been the signs that they needed. I'm not exactly sure what they were asking for, but that's how chapter 16 begins. And he gets into, he's traveling with the disciples. And they have a conversation about bread. And I don't know if I'm supposed to, but there are a couple times where I laughed during this conversation. And maybe I'm not supposed to laugh at sections of the Bible, but there are parts of it that I found amusing. Because Jesus begins by saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the disciples look around and they said, no, did anybody here bring bread? That's where I giggle. Like, you, I guess we're different. You know, you didn't see it the same way. I giggled there because they were immediately thinking about bread, real bread. Jesus had just warned them. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I don't want to spend too much time there. But verse 7, it says, they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. And Jesus says, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? He's pushing them. He's pushing them to think deeply. He said, you've seen me produce bread. You have seen me warn about bread. But you don't understand that I'm still not talking about bread. They were talking about bread. And then verse 12, then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was warning them because there were people questioning his authority. Now, I think that that's important to understand when you roll into the next section of this scripture. People were questioning his authority. People were demanding signs for him to prove who he said he was. And so he begins questioning them. And the first question that he asks them in verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It's a simple question. He wanted to know from them. And what's peculiar about this question is that he's already given them the answer. Like, Jesus is not fuzzy on who he is. He says, who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? So you should know who I am, but who do they say that I am? Now they've seen him being questioned. They've seen people demand a sign from him. So he wants to know, what have you been observing? Obviously, they didn't get the bread thing. So maybe this is a follow-up to that. He says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Their answers range. They say, so they said. Some say John the Baptist. So you, if you think back in your timeline, two chapters earlier, John the Baptist was beheaded. Matthew chapter 14, he was beheaded. He was beheaded at the request of someone because he had called out a sin. And she said, I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. And he was beheaded. He was killed that way. So John the Baptist is gone, at least at this moment in the timeline. But they said, some say that you're John the Baptist. So maybe some were confusing him that he's actually not a different person. He's just the same guy that was out in the wilderness that was preaching a baptism for the repentance of sin, that was eating locusts and honey, that was, you know, dressed like a crazy person. Maybe this is him. So they said, some say John the Baptist. Some, Elijah. And I wonder about the specific prophets that are called out here. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So there were varying opinions as to who this man was. And they said, you might be a prophet. There were people that thought, okay, maybe he was sent from God. Maybe he's Elijah. Maybe he's been reincarnated. Maybe he has been brought back to life. Maybe he's Elijah. Maybe he's Jeremiah or one of the prophets. That's how they answered this first question. These are the things that they had heard. It wasn't what Jesus was truly interested in. He wanted that first so that he could ask them the question that truly mattered. The second question that he asked them was, but who do you say that I am? Before we get into the way that they answer that, I want to stop for a second, and I don't mean this to be flippant at all, but I want you to know that there are options to that, of answers to that question. This is 2019, and you have heard different versions of the answer of that question. And it made me, and maybe again this is me, and maybe you're not going to laugh at the bread joke again, but I think about donuts a lot. I really like donuts. It's one of the things that I do when we go on vacation. Leanne knows that I will determine where the local donut store is. I don't want to know where the Krispy Kreme is. I want to know where the local one is, where they make the donuts that they make in that place. And I remember growing up and going to my grandparents' house, and if, you know, my family would be gathering and they would make coffee and everybody would have coffee, and they would often get donuts. And maybe it's because I'm 39, but I remember donuts differently back then. There were like three donuts. There were like glazed donuts. Sometimes there was one with some kind of jelly in the middle. There would be it was always red. It was a strawberry, cherry. Let's not pretend that it's fruit. And it was a red liquid. It was a gel. It might have been toothpaste. I don't know. But there was sometimes that one. And then there was sometimes, if you were lucky, you'd get a glazed one, but it would have chocolate on the top. That was it. Those were the donuts. And maybe we lived in the wrong part of town, but those were the donuts that showed up. And now, donuts are different. Donuts are different. You can get bacon on donuts. Like, you can get all sorts of things, you know, squeezed inside of donuts. You can get donuts that are the flavor of other things that aren't donuts. You know, and you can get cheesecake donuts. And I just wanted a donut. I would have gone for cheesecake if I wanted cheesecake. So this is 2019, and there are options on what kind of donuts you get. Well, not meaning to be flippant, but in the same manner, that question, who do you say that I am? You've got options for that answer. You've got options, and you have to decide how you're going to answer that question, because that question actually comes up more than you might realize. That question comes up. That's one. You might not get a clean window for somebody to say, would you tell me about the Church of Christ? How often does that one happen? Probably not often. You might be able to create opportunities. You might ask someone if they would like to study the Bible, and you might be able to, just like Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, teach someone about Jesus from wherever they are. You might be able to do that. But the question about who Jesus is, that might come up more than you expect, because people talk about things like that. So you have options for that, and I want to talk to you about those options. And I'm deadly serious about this. This is one of your options. You can answer that Jesus is a liar. Now, I realize that there might not be that many people in this room that are going to answer this way. I understand that. But I wanted to start here because this is a viable answer in 2019, that Jesus is a liar. And sometimes people will look to the scriptures to determine that. So sometimes people will say, if you think about Matthew chapter 11, you can flip to these scriptures. We'll read a few of them. You're welcome to do that at your leisure. When John was in prison, John the Baptist, before he was beheaded, he sent messengers to Christ, and he said, "Are you the coming one, or are we supposed to wait for someone else?" Now, this is the same John that baptized Christ. Understand that. This is the same John. He still had questions. He wanted to make double sure that this was the Messiah, and he sent messengers. And Jesus' answer to that, the message that Jesus sends back to that, is actually one that I would like to read. And starting in verse 4, Matthew 11, verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Now every one of them, save the last one, is miraculous. And there are people that don't believe those things happened. And they believe that Jesus was a liar. Because they say, nobody can do those things now. So why am I supposed to believe that there was a man that walked this earth and could do it back then? So that's an option. That's an option for you. And it doesn't stop there. They will say that Jesus, even in the way that he talked about things, when he was predicting the destruction of Jerusalem, and he was talking about his coming at the end of the age, he talked about just as in the days of Noah, things will come as a surprise. That's what he said. And people will say that Jesus believed in things that didn't happen. They'll say that he believed in fairy tales. They'll say that he believed in a God that created people in on the sixth day of a 7-day week of the very beginning of time. And they'll say, we know that that stuff didn't happen. So Jesus is a liar because he believed in fairy tales. And they'll say the same thing that the chief priests said at the end of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 28, at the end, they paid the soldiers who were outside, who were guarding the tomb. They paid them to report a lie. They paid them to report that his disciples came and stole away his body. Now, the book of Matthew is written, you know, you were talking maybe 30, 40, maybe 50 years after the death of Christ. So 60s, 70s, 80s, there's a whole, you know, bunch of theories as to when exactly it was written. And it says that saying is reported among the Jews even to this day. So that was that day, but there are still those that report that. They say that Jesus was a liar because he predicted that he would be raised and that he wasn't. That he actually was stolen from the tomb and his body was hidden by the people that wanted to start this movement on their own. That they just wanted to start this new religious movement and they had to steal the body of their founder so that people would believe, and that it was all a trick. So the first option that you have when people say, when Jesus says to you, when you're called to answer that question of who do you say that I am, one option is that Jesus is a liar, and that he's not anything about who he said he would be, who he said he was. Your second option, and this one you hear a lot, your second option is that Jesus is a good man. I'm not even going to actually argue the veracity of this, but some people believe that this is all that he was. And it's an option for you. They'll say that Jesus was a good man, and they'll cite a few reasons. They'll say that he taught peace, because what an amazing teaching to turn the other cheek. It is the opposite of all of our instincts, to be struck on one side of our face and then to offer someone the other side. The world doesn't talk like that, do they? The world doesn't believe in things like that. The world believes in getting back and getting even and in giving someone what they gave you. And Jesus taught something different. And that has struck some people. And they've said, Jesus was a good man because of those amazing things that he taught. He taught good things. And we should listen to those good lessons. He didn't want us to judge. Folks know that one. Folks know that one. Matthew 7, the very beginning. They don't know what usually follows, you know, that first verse, but they know the first one. Judge not, lest you be judged. They know that one. And they'll say that Jesus taught good things. Now that's a good saying. That's a good saying. Who are you to sit in judgment of someone else? You're supposed to judge righteous judgment. Yes, I know the rest of the passage, and so I know how to biblically apply it, and I believe that you do as well. But Jesus' point was, you don't get to be a hypocrite. You don't get to live any way you want and then see somebody else over here and say, hey, guess what? You're really out of line. You don't get to do that. Because guess what? You are going to be judged. And so you don't get to drop that on someone else. Like, you're a hypocrite. And so people will say Jesus was an amazing man because he called out hypocrisy. He was a good teacher. He was a good man. And they'll say that he had compassion for those in need. I've always found this passage beautiful. In chapter 9, toward the very end, verse 35, it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And he goes on to talk about the harvest and needing laborers for it. Jesus was a compassionate individual. He saw people that were suffering and he saw people that were in need and he wanted to attend to their needs. And it often made him weary to do so. It often made him tired to do so. And he would go and people would want. There's so many beautiful stories about, you know, children being brought in to see the Christ. And people would say, don't bother the teacher. Don't bother Jesus. And he would say, you let those little kids come in. Like, he's breaking up his message to make sure that he addressed those that needed his compassion and his love. Because he needed to demonstrate that. Because you and I need to be like that. And people will say that Jesus was a good man because he was a compassionate man. So you can answer that way. When people say, who is Jesus? And when Jesus calls you to answer that question, who do you say that I am? You can answer this way. You'll hear this answer a lot. You can give this answer. Jesus is a good man. And you can leave it at that. There are some that believe it goes a little bit farther than that. They'll say that Jesus is a prophet. And they'll say that, and they'll cite things. They'll say that, you know, Jesus' claim, you know, if you go over to John 7, verse 16, he says that the doctrine that he's teaching is not his own, but the doctrine, the will of him who sent me. So they say that Jesus came here to bring us God's message. There are people that believe that, that Jesus came to bring God's message. They believe that only. That he's just a prophet. Couldn't you say the same thing about Jeremiah? That Jeremiah came to bring God's message? He absolutely did. How many times in the prophetic books do you see the prophet saying, thus says the Lord? They weren't there to tell you what they thought. They were there to tell you what God had told them to tell the people. Thus says the Lord. Come out. Repent. Change. You're going to be carried away into captivity. All sorts of things from the Lord. Messengers of God. So there are people that believe Jesus was the same thing, that Jesus was a prophet. There are even people who are not Christians that believe this. Our friends in the Muslim faith believe that Jesus was a prophet. They believe that he was a prophet. They don't believe that he was deity. They don't believe that he was divine. They believe that he was a prophet. They believe that he was part of God's grand plan. Just like Moses and Abraham and Noah and all the patriarchs and the prophets, they believe that Jesus had a very specific part in that. And they say, yes, Jesus was a prophet. But they end it there. Jesus was a prophet. That's how they would answer this question, many of them. There are folks that will say that he predicted things that would happen. Matthew 24, we just started reading into that chapter in our scripture reading this morning. Matthew 24, Jesus said all of this stuff. They're looking at the temple and he said all this stuff's going to be destroyed. And the disciples were like, whoa, like, what are going to be the signs of these things and of the end of the age? And what are the signs of your coming? And they're asking all these questions and they don't even understand the magnitude of the questions that they're asking. And Jesus answers them with what they needed to know, but not even exactly how they asked them. The first thing that Jesus answers is that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. That the temple is going to be destroyed. Every bit of it happened in AD 70. We know it. There are folks that know their history and they will talk about Jesus being a prophet. And they'll talk about sections like this and they'll say he predicted things that would happen. He's a prophet. He was absolutely a prophet. He came with greater knowledge. He came with God's message and he delivered it to the people. And they'll say that he was a prophet. And they'll stop there. They'll also say, they'll also believe, unlike the folks, you know, that think that Jesus is a liar. They'll they'll say he had power. He did miraculous things. In John chapter 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead. In these verses alone, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he walks out of the grave. That can either be a story to you, or you can believe that Jesus was a prophet. That's one of your options, that Jesus is a prophet. And you can stop there. Prophets could do miracles. Prophets did miraculous things throughout the Old Testament. You know, Elijah did many, many amazing things to prove that he was actually who he said he was, to prove that he was a messenger from God. And you can say that about Jesus. You can say, well, yeah, Jesus is great. He was a prophet. That can be your answer to Jesus saying, who do you say that I am? You can say that he was a prophet. Can you imagine what it was like when he said, Lazarus, come forth? Like, I would love to know how much time elapsed between the words coming out of his mouth and the man walking out of the grave. Like, that's a question I have. I need to know exactly how many seconds, how many minutes. Like, I'm very, very interested in that. But a man that was dead, that had been dead for 4 days, walked out of a tomb for people to see. You have eyewitness accounts of that. That's what's been recorded for you in the scripture. People who were there when it happened. People who saw it happen. So you can believe that Jesus had the power to do those miraculous things, and you can leave it at that. So you have three options already. Three options to choose from when Jesus says, who do you say that I am? You can believe that he's a liar. You can. That will get you by in this world. That'll be just fine in this world. Increasingly so in this world. You can believe that Jesus was a liar. You can believe that Jesus was a good man. You can believe that he taught some good stuff. You don't have to subscribe to the rest of it. You don't have to subscribe to the coming again part. You don't have to subscribe to the doom and the gloom and the judgment. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You can just think that he was a good man, and you can do those things. And you'll be a pretty good person. Like, you know, it'll be a pretty good guide for action in your life. You can get by with that in 2019. Jesus is a good man. You can even go so far, even though this is becoming less, you know, acceptable, to believe that Jesus was a prophet and that he had powers and that he could perform miracles and that he was actually a messenger of God. You can believe those things. You can even take your faith a step further, and that can be your answer. But I want to talk about how they answered. So your fourth option is that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, I have no supporting points for this one because I just want to read to you what they said. So go back to Matthew chapter 16. Starting in verse 13 again, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have to choose which one of those answers will be yours. I actually believe that those are the four, you know, fairly complete answers for how most folks slice up, you know, their opinions of Christ. He's a liar because he made a lot of claims. He claimed a lot of things. He claimed that he was from God. He claimed that he was going to die and that he was going to raise again, and that he claimed he had the power over death. He claimed that he was going to judge one day. He claimed that his words would be the judge. And so if you don't believe those things are true, then Jesus has to be a liar. And that's your answer. You can believe that he's a good man. And you can do the good things that he did. And you can share those good things with others. And you can turn the other cheek. And you can care for the poor. And you can not judge. You can do all those good things. You can have compassion. And you can leave it at that. You can believe that he's a prophet. You can believe that he had power. You can believe that God sent him. That'll be good. Those things are true. God did send him. He was a prophet. He did predict things that would happen. He did have miraculous power. Or you can believe what Peter said right here. Because those first three, will get you by in your workplace. They'll get you by in most social circles. But they will not get you into heaven. That's the difference. So you have to choose one. There's not a non-answer to it. Who do you say that Jesus is? Well, who do you say? Because you might get called on to actually say it somewhere. You have to be ready with an answer. You have to be ready. What I like about this is that Peter seemed ready. He was ready for a lot of things. He was ready with a lot of answers. He was ready with swords sometimes, you know. He was a quick thinker. He was a fast draw. And this time he nailed it. This time he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered him and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." It is this phrase, it is that confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you and I are on the hook for that in our lives. You know, we talk about the steps of salvation. We talked about this a little bit in our fundamentals class, and we talk about these five things that we always say. You've got to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. You know, and we talked about the fact that there's no verse in the Bible that actually lists all those five things in a perfect order. You know, and wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be? It actually wouldn't be any different because people don't believe the verses that are there to start with. So, like, but it would be easier for me because I'd be like, look at this verse. You know, Jesus said, hey, guess what? If you're going to be saved, you got to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. It'd be great. Now, I believe in those steps of salvation. Don't misunderstand me because every one of them is in the Bible. But there's not this clean section of it. But confession is one that I've struggled with, but that I think about a lot. Because when folks want to be baptized into Christ, we have them stand up. You know, we ask them, you know, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Which is not much different than what Jesus is asking the disciples, who do you say that I am? It's the exact same output, it's the same outcome, it's the same desire. And they say yes. And if they say yes, we baptize them. I've never seen anybody say no, but I suppose if they did, then we wouldn't. But they say yes, and we baptize them. That's one of the steps that never ends. Like, you don't actually have to just confess once in your life, that one time before you were baptized. You actually have to keep doing it over and over and over. You have to do it. You have to do it in your family. Like, you have to do it so that your children see it. Because your children will know the difference between you believing that Jesus was a good man and you believing that he was the Son of God. Because it will call you to different action. Your children will know the difference between you thinking he was a prophet and you thinking that he was the Son of God that actually came from heaven. So if you were baptized, you claimed that you believed that at one point. You claimed that in front of some crowd, somewhere, some witness heard you answer the question that Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And you answered that he was the Son of God. You have to do that over and over and over. And you should do it proudly. Don't boast in anything in your life, but boast in the Lord. Like, that's actually the only thing you're given permission to boast in the whole Bible. You get to boast in the Lord, nothing else, in the Lord. So be proud of the fact that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because the world needs to hear it more. They need to hear that there is this man that came that said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. The world needs to hear people stand up and boldly say that I believe that Jesus Christ walked this earth and that he went back to heaven where he came from. They need to hear you say that. They need to hear me say that. Every time I say you, I actually mean me. I hope you understand that. They need to hear me say that. They need to hear. I need to be ready with that. I was talking with my friend last night, a member of the church out in California, one of my dearest friends, and we were talking about how to conduct ourselves in our workplaces. And we both work in places that are not necessarily, you know, thriving with belief. That seems like a kind way to say it, in case anyone listens to this. We don't work in places that are just, you know, beacons of Christianity. We have people from, you know, various faiths and very kind people and folks that I'm thankful to work with. We're talking about how to conduct ourselves. And you know what? I don't really have the opportunity to do much. And maybe I'm rationalizing, and call me on it if I am, please. But I told him, I said, you know what? What really doesn't happen to me much? I don't really have the opportunity to, like, you know, walk into a room and say, you know, walk into a meeting and say, hey guys, can I tell you about how, you know, the Church of Christ doesn't use instrumental music? That's not usually how I open up meetings at work. Like, that doesn't usually come up. Hey guys, did you actually know what the Bible teaches about divorce, marriage, and remarriage? Marriage, divorce, and remarriage? Like, I've never said that. Like, I've never opened a meeting that way. But do you know what I do get the opportunity to do? I get the opportunity to drop lines about Jesus. I get the opportunity to say things about, like, well, actually, you know, Jesus once said. Like, I'd get that opportunity. And sometimes I watch those opportunities walk right by. And that hurts me. And I'm trying to do better. And I think I'm doing better today than I was yesterday. And tomorrow I'm hoping I'm going to do better than I did today. And that's all I can count on. That's all I can hope for. That's all I can work toward. But I want to be ready with the answer that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what he claimed. In our fundamentals class, we began talking about the claims that the Bible makes when talking about authority. So there are a lot of people that find no authority in this book. But what you have to deal with is what this book claims it is. So for me, it either is or it isn't. There are some folks that like to live in the middle and they think that he's just a good man or he's just a prophet. But Jesus claimed that he was from God. You have to deal with that somehow. So when Jesus says, who do you say that I am? You have to be ready. I can't choose for you. The elders here can't choose for you. Your Bible class teacher can't choose for you. Your mother and father cannot choose for you. Some people have allowed that to happen, and they don't have much faith. They don't have a faith of their own, rather. You have to decide. Jesus is either a liar, he's just a good man, he's just a prophet, or he was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. I want to talk about it in the present because Jesus is alive. I want to end here again. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, this prophecy was written down. I want you to hear who this child was. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. I don't believe for a second that Isaiah was talking about a physical government, a material government, a political government. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All of those are also answers. They're actually synonyms with you are the Christ, the Son of the Living God. They're synonyms. He was wonderful. He is wonderful. He is a counselor. He is mighty God. He is everlasting Father. He is Prince of Peace. He is all of those things. You have to decide if you believe that he actually is. In class this morning again, we were talking about prayer. And we were talking about the fact that if God knows everything, then why in the world does he need to hear you say anything to him? It seems counterintuitive. If God knows what you need, what you want, where your heart is, what you're thinking, why does he need you to say it? We had a fairly heady debate. Not a debate, discussion rather. And there were some very nice things said, but we understand this in terms of our own relationships. We crave relationships. We crave affirmations of our standing with others. God does too. God actually desires, and it's why he gave you free will, he desires you to choose him. And that's why he wants to hear from you. And we talked about the fact that your prayers don't even have to always be this wish list of things that you want. You can't just talk to God. You can't just tell him, I think you can just tell him about your day. I don't know if I've ever done that, but I think you can. I think you can talk to God that way. I think you can use the privilege of being able to speak to your Creator to cultivate a relationship with him. because that's what God wants. So Jesus wants you to choose him. Jesus wants you to choose the fact that he is the Son of God. But you might not. And that's up to you. If you're not a Christian, then let me ask you to make that choice this morning. Answer that question right now. Who do you say that Jesus is? Because if you say that he is the Son of God, then without knowing anything else, I believe that you're ready. I believe that you're ready to be a part of the church that he established. Because if you believe that he's the Son of God, then that means you know about his claims. You know about his claims of divinity. You know about his claims of deity, of being from heaven to save our souls. And I would go so far as to wager that you're probably ready to repent. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you probably know what that requires of you. And it means you've got to throw off the baggage of your old life. And you've got to put on Christ. And it means that you're ready to stand up and say it. If you can think it, you can say it. Be bold enough to stand up before the folks here in this auditorium right now and say, when you're asked, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to be able to say yes, to be proud to say yes, and then be baptized and have your sins washed away and go throughout the rest of your life making the same confession. You can do that this morning because you have to decide how you will answer that question. You might have to answer it tomorrow. You might have the chance to answer it tomorrow. You might have the chance to open a meeting with it that way. Like, I don't know exactly what you're going to do tomorrow. But I hope that you take the opportunities to continue making that confession in your life, to continue answering that question, because you're not going to get past the day of judgment without that question. That's going to be a big part of it. That's going to be a big part of it. If you're ready to be baptized and to have the Lord add you to his church, you can do that this morning. Sometimes we forget the answer to that question. And sometimes we allow the world to suck us back in. And if that's the case, and you want to reaffirm your answer to that question, you can do that this morning as well. Because Jesus is continually asking you that question. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And you get, as long as you're living, you get as many chances as you need to answer that question. So if you need to make things right with God, you can also come forward. We have the opportunity right now. If you want to become a Christian and be baptized into the Lord's church, if you need to make anything right, please come while we stand and while we sing.